Will Ingram Show. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line, Mr. Michael Bassford. He is with the Interagency Council on Homelessness. You know, sir, I think that, you know, the discussion we are having right now does wonders to get this kind of information out to people who may not be aware, who are blessed and fortunate not to have to deal with these kinds of things, and maybe in their own communities don't have this or don't see this as an issue. But it permeates this nation more so than most people can ever imagine. And I don't care. You look at places like Los Angeles, like California and New York, mm-hmm. and people think, well, you know, those are the bastions of this. Washington, for heaven's sakes, you can go to Washington, D.C., and right around the Capitol, a couple blocks from the Capitol, there are homeless people mm-hmm. laying out in the street, visible to mm-hmm. everybody in the nation's capital. And they haven't been able to fix that. So let me read this quickly and point this out, and then we'll continue. Here's what politician had to say. I won't say who it is. We will protect, defend, and promote the American family at all costs. The nuclear family is crucial to civilization. It is God's design for humanity, and it must be protected and celebrated. To say otherwise is to deny science. There are people who seek to devalue and redefine the traditional family as they undermine parents and attempt to replace them with government programs. We will not allow socialism to place the needs of the state ahead of the family. He said some good things early on, but then he comes in and says government programs. As if a government program is anti-family. There are some families that the only salvation for them happen to be through the government programs, right? I mean, that's not a crime, is it?
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about breaking up the traditional nuclear family, there's no easier way to do it than to evict them from their home. Because you're not going to have a whole, because the family shelter options are limited. If you are a couple and don't have children, well, one of you is going to be staying, and assuming this is a cisgendered heterosexual couple, you know, one's going to the women's shelter, the other is going to the men's shelter. If you want to, I mean, there is no easier, again, there is no easier way to break up a family and to undermine that family structure than to just remove them from housing.
You know, you talk,
so, I'm there's sorry. A cognitive dissonance. There's a cognitive dissonance there that has to be addressed.
You know, early on in our discussion, you gave numbers that the government has, and they know that this is going to get worse because there's not enough housing stock. If we know that and we have those numbers, you know, and, you know, we've got to start working on that, right? Otherwise, we're going to fall even further behind.
So you mentioned California, and California is certainly something that should be looked at. I mean, here you have a state that has a roaring economy, best state economy in the country. You have people that are going to California to seek economic opportunity. And at the same time, the state itself had been lingering under a similar or even worse, affordable housing crisis. And so, you know, and so nobody should be shocked to see that, you know, that there are all these areas where you can't walk down the street for all of the tents that are in the way. And when people go, well, that's just not the case. It's not the lack of affordable housing, and it's not that that people are coming for economic opportunity and are getting, you know, and are running into this issue. I have a copy of The Grapes of Wrath I can lend to you. This is something that has happened, you know, this is something that has happened before. And if we are not careful, Wisconsin can be future California. We really have to get more and more into the business of affordable housing development. And if that's by subsidizing developers, so be it. If that's, you know, if that's by helping agencies purchase and renovate buildings, that's great too. But we have to get more of those units online, or we are going to hit that tipping point where encampments of people experiencing homelessness will be the norm rather than the exception.
You know, across the
That would be a terrible failure if we were to allow that to happen.
You know, Mike, across this nation, Portland, Oregon, and other places, these tent cities that are propping up everywhere, people are saying, well, those people are just doing that. Do you think that people really want to live in tents in major cities? Do they really think that that's an easy way of life? That people are undergoing living in tents. I mean, certainly, you know, where we are right now, that's an amazing thing to me that we can somehow think that somehow people are comfortable living in tents. They're not.
Especially in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I really do think, sir, that maybe it's people think it's so far down the line. What you are projecting for our state is maybe decades away. You would say that it's a lot closer than that.
I would say, like a lot of other issues that we talk about, but a lot of other issues that we that take up our consciousness, like climate change, for example. These are looming issues. They're closer than we want to admit to, and that we need to, you know, and we need to get working on that. I would also say that, like climate change, you know, it's also an issue. Ending homelessness as we know it, you know, is an issue that Governor Evers has really brought on board, takes it seriously, takes leading the council seriously, and wants to see these investments in housing happen, and to see these changes in our programming happen, and to see people move from homelessness into housing. So, you know, we've got that going for us. You know, I mean, leadership matters. You know, people could talk about wanting to end homelessness, but, you know, you have to step up and, you know, provide the resources. You know, we're right now in a situation where the federal government is stepping in, and we're very, very grateful for that, as limited as those funds are. But still, at the end of the day, it has to be something that all levels of government, from the local to the federal government and the private sector and everybody in between, has to take a stand and make an investment on in order for us to end homelessness as we know it.
You know, Michael, we're running out of time, but I want to... not only do I want to thank you, but I want to extend the invitation to bring you back again and again and again, because we have to make sure that people are aware of what is going on, and also the fact that people need to know what programs exist. Because a lot of what we're dealing with also is the fact that the people who need it the most just are not aware of it and what's available to them, right? I mean, that's what I want to do. I want to make sure that we have you on intermittently to get that information out to people so we can at least help from our end. Man, thank you very much for.
I'm sure, and thank you, Mr. Ingram, and I'd be more than happy to accept that invitation.
Well, it's going to be extended, so thank you very much. I'll be in touch with you soon, and we'll make sure that we make this happen over and over again. That's Mr. Michael Bassford. I'm sorry, he is with the Interagency Council on Homelessness. We've got to go to a break. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back.
Heartbreaker. I got one friend, that's the Undertaker.